यथा नभा स्वान्तम् अथा परे कुतः नतोऽस्म्यहम् तच्छरणम् समीयूषाम् भवच्छिदम् स्वस्तयनम् सुमङ्गलम् यो हि आत्ममाया विभवम् स्म पर्यगान् यथा नभा स्वान्तम् अथा परे कुतः स्मरम् तच्चरणम् स्मरणीयूषाम् यो यात्ममाया विभवम् स्म पर्यगान् यथा नभा स्वान्तम् अथा परे कुतः नतोऽस्म्यहम् तच्चरणम् समीयूषाम् भवच्छिदम् स्वस्तयनम् सुमङ्गलम् यो हि आत्मा स्वमन् स्वपर्यगान् यथा नभा स्वान्तम् अथा परे कुतः ततोऽस्म्यहम् तच्चरणम् समीयूषाम् भवच्छिदम् स्वस्तयनम् सुमङ्गलम् यो हि आत्ममाया विभवम् स्वपर्यगान् यथा नभा स्वान्तम् अथा परे कुतः माताजी स्म्यहम् तच्चरणम् समीयूषाम् योयात्ममाया विभवम् स्म पर्यगान् यथा नभा स्वान्तम् अथा परे कुतः नतः लेट् मी आफर् मै ओबेसेन्सेस् अस्मि अस्मि अम् एम् अहम् ऐ तत् द लॉर्ड्स् चरणम् फीट् समीयूषाम् आफ् द सरेण्डर्ड् सोल् भवच्छिदम् that which stops repetition of birth and death, swastiyayanam, perception of all happiness, sumangalam, all auspicious, yaha, one who, he, exactly, atma maya, personal energies, vibhavam, potency, Sma, certainly, prayagat, cannot estimate, yatha, as much as, nabaha, the sky, swanantam, swantam, it is its own limit. Atha, therefore, apare, others, kutaha, how? Translation. Therefore, it is best for me to surrender unto his feet, which alone can deliver one from the miseries of repeated birth and death. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. Even the sky cannot estimate the limits of its own expansion. So what can others do when the Lord himself is unable to estimate his own limits? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Brahma, the greatest of all learned living beings, the greatest sacrificer, the greatest observer of the austere life, and the greatest self-realized mystic, advises us as the supreme spiritual master of all living beings, that one should simply surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord in order to achieve all success. even up to the limit of being liberated from the miseries of material life and being endowed with all auspicious spiritual existence. Lord Brahma is known as Pitamaha or the Father's Father. A young man consults his experienced father about discharging his duties. So the father is naturally a good advisor. But Lord Brahma is the father of all fathers. He is the father of Manu, who is the father of mankind all over the universal planets. Therefore, the men of this insignificant planet should kindly accept the instruction of Brahmaji and would do well to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord rather than try to estimate the length and breadth of the Lord's potencies. His potencies are immeasurable as confirmed in the Vedas, Parasya Shaktir Vivida Surayate, Swabhaviki Jnana Balakriyacha, Shvetashvara Upanishad 6.8. He is the greatest of all, and all others, even the greatest of all living beings, namely Brahmaji, admits that the best thing for us is to surrender unto Him. Therefore, only those persons with a poor fund of knowledge claim that they themselves are lords of all that they survey. And what can they survey? They cannot survey even the length and breadth of a small sky in a one small universe. The so-called material scientist says that he would need to live 40,000 years to reach the highest planet of the universe being carried by a Sputnik. This is also utopian because no one can be expected to live 40,000 years. Besides, when the space pilot returned from his travel, none of his friends would be present to receive him back as the greatest astronaut, as he has become fashionable for modern bewildered scientific men. One scientific man who had no belief in God was very much enthusiastic in making plans for his material existence and therefore opened a hospital to save the living. But after opening the hospital, he himself died within 6 months. So one should not spoil his human life, which is obtained after many, many changes of bodies in 84 lakh species of life, simply for concocted material happiness of life through increasing artificial needs in the name of advancement of economic development and scientific knowledge. Rather, one should simply surrender unto the feet of the Lord to make a solution to all miseries of life. That is the instruction of Lord Krishna directly in Bhagavad Gita, and that is the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam by Brahmaji, the Supreme Father of living beings. Anyone denying this surrendering process as recommended both in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and for that matter in all authorized scriptures, will be forced to surrender unto the laws of material nature. The living entity by his constitutional position is not independent. He must surrender either unto the Lord or unto material nature. Material nature is also not independent of the Lord, since the Lord himself has claimed material nature as Mama Maya or my energy, Bhagavad Gita 7.14, and as Me Bhinna Prakriti Ashtada or my separated energies in 8 divisions, 7.4 Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, material nature is also controlled by the Lord, as he has claimed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10. Maya Dekshana Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Under my direction only is material nature working, and thus are all things moving. And a living entities being superior energy to matter have choice and discrimination either to surrender unto the Lord or to surrender unto material nature. By surrendering unto the Lord, one is happy and liberated. But by surrendering unto material nature, the living entity suffers. So the end of all suffering means surrendering unto the Lord, because the surrendering process itself is bhavachidam, liberation from all material miseries, swasti ayanam, perception of all happiness, and sumangalam, the source of everything auspicious. Therefore, liberty, happiness, and all good fortune can be attained only by surrendering unto the Lord, because he is full liberty, full happiness and full auspiciousness. Such liberation and happiness are also unlimited, and they have been compared to the sky. Although such liberation and happiness are infinitely greater than the sky, in our present position, we can simply understand the magnitude of greatness when it is compared to the sky. We fail to measure the sky, but the happiness and liberty obtained in association with the Lord are far greater than the sky. The spiritual happiness is so great that it cannot be measured, even by the Lord Himself, not to speak of others. It is said in the scriptures, Brahma Saukhyam Tu Anantam. Spiritual happiness is unlimited. Here it is said that even the Lord cannot measure such happiness. This does not mean that Lord cannot measure it and is therefore imperfect in that sense. The actual position is that Lord can measure it, but the happiness in the Lord is also identical. So the happiness of the Lord may be measured by the Lord, but the happiness is increased again, and the Lord measure it again, and then again the happiness increases more and more. And the Lord measures it more and more. As such, there is eternally a competition between increment and measurement, so much so that the competition is never stopped, but goes on unlimitedly ad infinitum. Spiritual happiness is Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, or the ocean of happiness which increases. The material ocean is stagnant, but the spiritual ocean is dynamic. In the Chaitanya Charitamrut Adilila 4th chapter, Kaviraj Goswami has very nicely described this dynamic increment of the ocean of spiritual happiness in the transcendental person of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of the Lord Krishna. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Deshatarine Vanshakalpatarubhyasya Mahasindubhyaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Rundavaneshwari Rushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome all of you for the Bhagavatam class today, and I seek blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and all those who are watching this live on the internet. So very beautiful verse and very beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada, and very long purport, and it covers so many aspects of surrender. And so we'll discuss a little bit about the surrender aspect today in this, from this verse. So whenever we look at surrender, whenever we hear about the surrender aspect anywhere, what it brings to our mind, it is something typically is that submission or giving up our independence to whoever it may be. It could be our authority, it could be any other person also. And This is the material idea about the surrender. And it is natural because we have been seeing this from our childhood also, that, you know, any kind of a war situation where, you know, the soldiers are there and they have to raise their hands and they have to walk, they are surrendered. So, typically because of this kind of beliefs and thoughts, you know, it is very repulsive to surrender. Nobody likes to surrender to anyone else. And everyone typically wants to be like a master or enjoyer or the controller. Nobody wants to lose that control. So, one of the room conversations with Srila Prabhupada, Harishavadi Prabhu, His Grace Harishavadi Prabhu, he was mentioning that one gentleman from India only, he asked Srila Prabhupada that, you know, how to surrender to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada quoted from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's one of the bhajans, and he said, how everything is in Krishna's possession, all our family, children, our house, property, everything is in possession of Krishna. So, surrender means that everything need to be used in the service of Krishna without any reservation. That is one definition Srila Prabhupada gave there. The other person who was sitting there and he asked, that how this surrender should be done, whether it is surrender is done with our own efforts or it just automatically happens. So Prabhupada told that, you know, we are already surrender. It is just a question of whom we are surrendering to. And surrendering is an integral part of our life. There is a very famous conversation between the US naval ship and Canadian authorities of the coast, you know, Newfoundland. So the Canadian authorities, they send a message to this US naval ship that please divert your course 15 degrees to south to avoid a collision. All of you might have heard about this. And the Americans, they recommend, he says that recommend you divert your course by 15 degrees to north to avoid a collision. And Canadians again say negative. They have this typical language, negative. You will have to divert course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. So that goes on back and forth. And then the American naval ship, the captain says, this is the captain of US naval ship. I say again, divert your course. And Canadians, they say, no. I say again, you divert your course. So now he showed his power and then again nothing was happening. He was not budging. So then again he said, this is the aircraft carrier of US Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic fleet. And we are accompanied by 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers and numerous support vessels. I say again, 15 degree north, our countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. And the Canadians say, this is lighthouse. It's your call whether you want to divert or no. So the point is that everybody wants to show their power. And the more we have that power, the more it is difficult to for surrender. You know, how much ever we may say, main jhukega nahi, but you have to, tumko jhukna padta hai, you have to surrender. That is the fact of life. And Prabhupada gave a very nice example in that conversation. He said that a citizen, you know, he has a choice. You surrender to the government, the laws of which are given by government, or you surrender to the police. You live according to the law, or you live in the jail. So it is as simple as that. The point which Srila Prabhupada was trying to make, that we have a choice of surrendering to Krishna or surrendering to Maya. But he said that our position will always remain as surrender. So the price which we pay, you know, for the choice which we are making is very, very important. Right? So the results, the rewards also you get is also according to that. So surrender is a battle between being a master or being a servant. So this is the battle which is always going on, and it is an everyday battle for the sadhakas. All of us face the different kind of battles. Morning when we are chanting, there is a battle between the holy name, whether we should chant attentively, or there is a battle, there is a thought, you know, whether I should attend some messages which are, you know, coming on my mobile phone. So this is also a battle, and we choose that where do we surrender, whether we surrender to Krishna or whether we surrender to the mobile phone which is there. So this is the battle. So in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, the bright in the beginning of this purport, it's talking about the qualification of Lord Brahma. And if we look at our life, that we always need some advisor in our life, whether it is our finances or our spiritual life or, you know, health, you know. If you want to have a good health and you are sick, then you need to go to a doctor. Whom you will choose? Somebody who is experienced or somebody who is inexperienced? Somebody who has knowledge or who doesn't have knowledge? Somebody who has a qualification or who somebody doesn't have? So both, all these different aspects are very, very important for us to define and identify who can be our good advisor. And here, Srila Prabhupada is actually, you know, telling us that Brahmaji, you know, he says that he is the greatest of learned living beings. And he has given the greatest of knowledge to all of us in the form of Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindam Sarva Karana Karanam. So what is Lord Brahma is telling? That he is the Krishna is the Supreme Godhead. He is the origin of all, sarva karana karanam, prime cause of all causes. And then he is saying that, Govindam Adipursham Tamaham Bhajami. I surrender to this primeval Lord, Govinda. So he has given us the greatest of knowledge. The second thing which Srila Prabhupada also taught is the greatest of sacrifice. So Ramaji, one of the important aspect of sacrifice is that if we sacrifice our own ego, our own thoughts. So Brahmaji has done this. When Narad Muni asked, "Are you the supreme?" So he could have easily said, "Oh yes, I mean I'm kind of, you know, I'm empowered." He didn't say that. He said that Krishna is the supreme. You know, it is when you are at the senior position, the topmost position, and people ask you, and you know, it is a choice whether to take that credit or not. Ramaji is telling that Krishna is the supreme, and we see that after this Brahma Vimon Lila, Ramaji decided that okay, in the Kali Yuga, when Lord comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I also want to participate in that Lila. But not as the powerful Brahma, but as Srila Haridas Thakur. He was at that point born in a very low class, so called low class family. And that is the position Lord Brahma is willing to take. The third thing which Prabhupada talks about the qualification of Brahmaji is the greatest observer of the austere life, performing tapasya. So Brahmaji, he underwent penances for 1,000 celestial years, as per the calculation of demigods. And Prabhupada write in one of the purports that, you know, these penances which he did were with full faith and sincerity. And because he did that, so that's why he became so powerful and became the creator of the universe. So, you know, he was able to attain that power amongst all the demigods which are there. So he is, that's why he is called greatest of the tapasvis, the austere life which he lived. He is the greatest of self-realized mystic. That is the next thing Srila Prabhupada talks about. So when we look for somebody who is an advisor, you know, we need to have somebody who has experience, who has self-realization. So one is having knowledge, but when you apply that knowledge in a particular service, then you start getting so many realizations. You know, sometimes we can theoretically read that how to cook certain things, but when you enter in the kitchen, then you start realizing that, oh, ye bhi karna padta hai, wo bhi karna padta hai. All these things are there. When you are working with us, serving with the experienced people around you, then that's how you realize that what is it. So he's a self-realized mystic. Why self-realized? Because he underwent so many experiences. And mystic, because creation of the entire universe itself is a big thing. So he was the greatest of self-realized mystic. And he's the supreme spiritual master of living beings. You know, everybody accept him. You know, we ourselves are in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he commands that respect, and he is accepted by every living entity. And the last and most important thing which Srila Prabhupada says, that he is the Pitama. Pitama is means father of all fathers. And Prabhupada also writes that father, he is not only the father of fathers, but father of Manu, father of mankind, all mankind in the universal planets. So we all of us need to have such father figure. And when we have an advisor as our own father, what to talk about? I mean, you don't have to pay anyone. Your father is your advisor. He is the most qualified person. So Prabhupada writes that how a son follows the instruction of his father in performing his day-to-day duties. Somebody who is having a great business, you know. So the father is running for it for so many years. So the father gives the inside tricks to the son, that this is how you should do. So this is having the importance of being a father. So Prabhupada writes, a young man consults the experienced father about discharging these duties. So Brahmaji is advocating that, you know, why we should not only that, you know, why we should follow it. And the results of when we are surrendering, the whole process of surrendering, he talks in the purport that it is bhavachidam. It gives liberation from material miseries. All of us are suffering some way or the other, you know, in this material world. And everybody is looking that, okay, how I can come out of these miseries. So surrender, this is a byproduct of the surrender. Then he says, swasti ayanam, the perception of all happiness. The true happiness, the real happiness which we can perceive in this material world is only when we surrender. Otherwise, whatever happiness we get, it is just temporary. And the third thing he talks about, sumangalam, the source of everything auspicious. The process of surrender takes us to the most auspicious results. So having said this, there are four types of people who do not surrender, and Bhagavad Gita talks about this in 7.15, right? The four types of people are basically, one, first is the impious miscreants or duskruti. They do not surrender, and one of them is muda or grossly foolish. Prabhupada writes that grossly foolish. In this long purport, Prabhupada writes that, you know, they are simply attached to creative work like ass. And it is not just the donkey, he is actually working. He is just eating grass or the carrot which is given, hanging, dangling in front of it. And he continues to do his work without knowing why he is doing, what is the end purpose of this. So many people in this world, they feel that work is the only thing, work is worship. And they say that I don't have any time for anything about spirituality. No time for Krishna consciousness. No time for chanting of the holy name. No time to even come to the temple. So that is like a muda. The second type of person is Naradhama, the lowest of mankind. So Prabhupada writes, they have no genuine spiritual culture. And they are charmed and enamored to the material culture. So many examples we can see in the scriptures also. Jagai Madhai, recently in Palghar, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was very beautifully explaining that, narrating that pastime of Jagai Madai, how they were Naradhamas, how so much of fallen, so much in the activities which they are doing, which are a normal human being will not do. But of course, they were fortunate to meet Lord Nityananda and Sri Haridas Thakur. So these are uncivilized population. It's not that, you know, we find this in the jungles of Amazon. We don't have to go so far. The technology and the degradation, we find them all around us in this city itself. So these are the type of people who never surrender to the Lord. The third is Maya Aparata Jnana. Knowledge, those people, there's knowledge is stolen by illusion. So they are attached to knowledge, the range in which only begins and ends with the material energy. It doesn't go beyond that. They feel, so if you see the education system, Srila Prabhupada talks about the education system here. It is just about the material energy. There is nothing about the spiritual knowledge which has been given. In any colleges, if you go, nowadays the things are changing. But these are the typical challenges. In this purport also, Srila Prabhupada gives that these people are trying to estimate the length and breadth of Lord's potencies. So they are always trying to calculate that how, you know, the Lord potencies, how it is going to increase. All these are more interesting rather than the actual loving pastimes of the Lord. So many philosophers, scientists, you know, they fall into this category. They think that Krishna is not the Lord. He is not a supreme Lord. They feel that Krishna is one of the ordinary person, human being. That's how they talk about him. And the fourth is Asuram Bhavavam Ashritaha. Those who have taken the shelter of demonic principles, they are completely atheistic. They never think that Krishna was there and he is there. They are attached to being independent controllers. So they are outright envious about the Lord. They say that Krishna never descended. There is no question of his existing. And they make Krishna as subordinate. So these are the different type of people. You know, why there is a difficulty for surrendering? Because the main foundational principle of humility or accepting the lower position, that itself is not there. So that's why it's very difficult for them to surrender. And of course, in the next verse, Krishna tells Arjuna that who are the four types of people who surrender? So, the first one is Artha, or the distress. These are the Sukritas. So, they turn to Krishna for relief. So, we see in our hospital, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, so many people, they come, they are in so much of distress because of so many health issues. And we see them many times. We have a small temple on Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra and Shishi. Nitai Chaitanya Vaidyam. So they come and they sit and pray to the Lord there. This is the time they start taking shelter. And so many people actually became Krishna consciousness. They became devotees just because they got admitted in the hospital. So this is one aspect of, you know, turning to Krishna for relief. Personally, myself, most of us and most of the people, they actually come because of the stress. We are also fall into the same category. Actually, our daughter, she was not getting an admission, and somehow we were trying to different schools, and somehow my mother-in-law, she told that there is a school in Kandivali, a small school, and we went there. And then I'll not go into the details, but that changed the whole life for all of us. All of us became, at least came into the Krishna conscious movement because of this stress which was there to find a school for the daughter. So many reasons people come into Krishna consciousness. The other is the Artharthi, you know, It can be wealth wanters or somebody who wants success in business or family affairs, education. So these are the type of people. So they feel they come to Krishna, they go to all the demigods also, but they come to Krishna also. And they pray that, okay, at least give me, you know, good business, let me earn well, let me pass nicely. So many students during the exam time, they come. It is good, at least we should surrender to Krishna. And they pray that, okay, let me have a simple paper so that I can score nicely. That's the simple prayer which is there. Then there is somebody who is called Jignasu or inquisitive. So their interest is more of academic and knowledge and inquiry. So they are kind of just inquisitive. And then they become, that what is it? They are just passing by, there is a different kind of a structure here. Looks beautiful. Let me just go and check. So many people have got attracted. Today, or Juhu temple, Radha Ras Bihari, and to extend our temple also, Rakshesh Radha Gopinath. So many visitors are coming just to, by seeing that attraction. But earlier, Mumbai Darshan, Juhu temple was part of it. So just by seeing that beauty, they are coming to take Darshan. And the fourth category is the Jnani or they were wise. So they desire perfection and they turn towards Krishna for self-realization or God-realization. They are a very rare community for this kind of category. But these are also the people, you know, there are four type of people who turn to Krishna. So, saying all these things, there are different levels of surrender. And we'll just briefly discuss about this. So, the first level is a level of unconscious incompetence. Here, the person, he has no connection with Krishna consciousness. They are potential devotee, they are coming for the first time. And kind of ignorance is there, that may not be aware about the philosophy, there is no practice. So this is the first category, that there is no philosophy, no practice, and kind of in ignorance. The second stage, once they come, is conscious incompetence. They actually become aware about their incompetence. They start realizing, oh, I did not know this, you know. So, when I came into Krishna consciousness, when I came to this temple, several people sitting around, Sankirtan Prabhu was there, and so many devotees, they were actually talking, and there were people who were asking about Atma and everything, and I did not know anything. I did not know. They asked, you have any questions? I said, I have no questions. I don't know what to ask. So, that is the level of ignorance. So, the second stage is conscious completely, that okay, awareness. I am not aware about anything. I don't know anything. This is the neophyte stage. So this is the beginning. At least, you know, you start attending some lectures, start attending a little bit of philosophy. And sometimes there is no practice. We just come, we just hear, no chanting, no other things, no practice. So here at this level, there is a misconception of surrender. There's a little bit of hearing and they said, okay, Krishna is the supreme, you know, sab kuch Krishna ko arpan karna hai. So there is a misled surrender which can be seen at this category. So there are surrenders without efforts. It is not that, okay, my business will become, you know, successful automatically. Or my job will become easy automatically. I don't have to put efforts. Krishna will take care. So at this stage, you know, kind of things are dumped on Krishna. Let Krishna do everything and I will sit. So that is the second level of thing. The third level which comes is a conscious competence. And this is because of the training. You know, you undergo a lot of training, guidance. This is a level of a sadhaka. And here, there is a fair bit of a knowledge on philosophy. There is a practice here, but this practice is with bit of struggle. There are mistakes. Sometimes it is a burden. So this is the level where, you know, Sometimes there is a surrender, sometimes there is not a surrender. So that is the third level of conscious competency, which is a training phase in which we go. And then there is a fourth phase, which is called as unconscious competence. And that is where the habit takes place. And this is the category where the pure devotees of the Lord, the acharyas, for them, this surrender is not a bitter process. Like in earlier stages, it is like a bitter process. You have to do this, you have to do this, give up that. So that surrender is difficult. But here, that is not a problem at all. It is in this particular level, they actually look for the opportunity to surrender. What way I can surrender? Surrender to the will of Guru and will of Krishna. And in fact, all of us are actually product of surrenders of this whole parampara, all these acharyas, you know, we are actually product of that, their surrender. Today is the appearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And I was reading a book written by Her Grace Sheetala Mataji. She's a wife, good wife of His Grace Harishauri Prabhu. And she has written a book called The Glorious Life of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And in that, it is written that how this, like Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he was born after Lord Chaitanya's pastime. And in that situation, when he came, Lord Chaitanya actually declared that I am putting all my love in the Padmati River. And he deposited all his love in that Padmati River. And when this boy will be born and he will come to this river to take bath, and then he will get that supreme love. And Narottam Das Thakur, he came, he took bath, and when he entered the entire river it's like a tsunami of love. And he got the Krishna Prem. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally embraced him in that to give the Krishna Prem to him. So it is not just that Narottam Das Thakur, he got that love. The love of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was deposited there in that river. But it's not that. By the mercy of all these acharyas, and especially Srila Prabhupada, all this love of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is deposited in so many temples which Prabhupada has built. It is available for all of us to take bath and receive that Krishna Prem. So that is the glory of this acharyas. So, she was, Sheetala Mataji writes that, you know, she quotes His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that he says that in bhakti it is not what you know, but who you know, that is most important. So if we know our acharyas, what they have done, what is their contribution, then that is real bhakti. And that's what emphasized by Srila Narottam Das Thakur through his wonderful bhajans, very simple, sweet bhajans, but very deep philosophy was given, just like what we have by Santa Tukaram here. And another important thing which Srila Narottam Das Thakur gave to all of us, along with his two wonderful friends, that is Srinivas Acharya and Shyamanand Pandit, they actually formally did the very specific preaching efforts, very systematic preaching efforts. They are the origin of CDD, they are the Congregation Development Department. So any preacher, they actually should pray to Srila Narottam Das Thakur that, okay, you know, please bless so that I can speak and spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the level of unconscious competence. That is the fourth level. And there is a next level also, which is a transcendental level. This is a transcendental surrender. And this is the surrender of Krishna to surrender of his devotees. We can see from the Damodar Leela. In Damodar Leela, Yashoda Mai, she is trying to tie Krishna to the grinder motor. And what was happening? It was always two fingers short. She was not able to tie Krishna. And she tried, and finally she was like, I can't do this. And when she surrendered to Krishna, Krishna surrendered. And Krishna allowed her to tie her with love. So this is a loving exchanges amongst the devotees of Lord and with himself. So this is one thing. Even Lord himself was so happy to surrender to Srimati Radharani. So in Barsana, there is a Maan Leela, there is a Maan Mandir, and all of you may be knowing also that how Radharani got upset, and she went to do the Maan. That's why it is called Maan Mandir. And then Krishna came, and he was trying to, you know, convince her that, okay, beg forgiveness. And he was doing the entertainment in the form of Mayur. Like a peacock, he was dancing along with all the other his friends. And when the Srimati Radharani came, when she saw that beautiful darshan, you know, how these peacocks are dancing, and he was going and touching, this specific peacock was going and touching the feet of Srimati Radharani. And that's where Lalitaji actually understood that there is some gadbad in this, you know. This is not this normal peacock. He is Krishna. So there are such a beautiful, sweet pastimes. And it's not just at the level of Srimati Radharani or Yashoda Mai. But these reciprocations of Krishna are there at all the levels. Krishna, whenever we surrender to the Lord reciprocates with the same love for us. So this surrender is not about the externals. We may come to the temple and we may, you know, give our prostrated obeisances. We may come and take darshan. This is all part of the surrender. It is good that we should do this. But surrender is the process of heart. It is from the heart which is to be done. Otherwise, if we see like Hiranyakashipu or Ravana or Duryodhan, all these people, they were fighting with Krishna or Lord Ram, and they were seeing, they every day they were taking darshan of the Lord, but there was no surrender. So what is the use of just having this darshan, or what is the use of only the externals? Of course, the externals are important because that makes us go deeper, that okay, at least externally I should do it, and someday, one day I will internalize the surrender process. That is our thought process. So there are six limbs of surrender, and which is given by in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is mentioned, and Srila Bhakti Thimanath Thakur in his Sharanagati Bhajans. So that is also there. So one of them is Anukalyasya Sankalpa. That is the first limb of surrender. What is like, accept everything favorable to serving the Lord. And we can see that from the life of Srila Prabhupada, how he actually practiced all these limbs of surrender. He used everything in Krishna's service. It was very pioneering effect when you know, Prabhupada used the dictaphone, the technology. The use of technology was so much that he used the dictaphone because he knew that he didn't have much time. So all the translation he recorded in the dictaphone, and then it was then translated by the devotees. He used somebody like George Harrison, who was so famous in that part of Beatles, to spread Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was very innovative, and he used everything in Krishna's service. The second aspect is Pratikulyasya Varjanam, that is giving up everything which is unfavorable for serving of the Lord. So there was a situation that some of the devotees, they went for preaching, they went to each and every place. Some of them used to go to the bars also. Their drunkards were there. In the same mood of Srila Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. So they went there. But Prabhupada cautioned them that, okay, just go there, but don't spend much time. Just come out. You know, you should not get influenced by them. And also, there are devotees who went to such countries where it is very, very difficult. Some devotees were in Pakistan and they were in real troubles. They were attacking some Krishna conscious devotees, called devotees also. And he had to really, Prabhupada was so worried. And these devotees, when they came, Prabhupada was so happy. He actually hugged them and he was crying. So, he did not want any of his devotees also to get into that unfavorable situation. The third thing is, Rakshayati Vishwaso, that firm conviction that Krishna can protect oneself, you know. And Prabhupada, in his bhajan, on Jaladuta, he actually prayed. He suffered two heart attacks in that journey. It was such a difficult journey, traveling in a cargo ship from India to America for so many days. And in such a rough sea condition. And in spite of that, Prabhupada was just praying that Krishna, you are the one who will protect me. So that is the firm faith Prabhupada had. And then the next is Gopitrute Varanam Tatha. Always accept Krishna as one's maintainer. That Krishna is providing. So people used to ask Srila Prabhupada that you don't have any business, you didn't have a lot of money, but you have such huge temples and so many things which you are doing. You are traveling across the world. So Prabhupada said, you know, we are doing this for Krishna. And Krishna is providing whatever is necessary. Krishna is maintaining us. That is the faith which Srila Prabhupada gave. The next is Atma Nikshepa. Always be conscious that one is not independent in fulfilling desires. That is a self-surrender. So, Prabhupada was asked once and Prabhupada said that, you know, this preaching mission is not started by me in the West. It is started by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is his mission. He has started it. And my Guru Maharaj, he sent all of you, all the Western disciples, all of you were sent by him to help me. So he did not want to take any credit, you know, and give all that credit to them. That is his level of surrender, that everything belongs to the will of his Guru Maharaj. And the fourth, the last one is, the sixth one is Karpan. Always humbly think of oneself as most fallen, so that Krishna will take care of us. So that is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. People asked him once in Sweden, there was a place in a university, and Prabhupada was giving class, and there were chamar seva was done, devotees were doing that. He was sitting on a high platform. Prabhupada was doing that, and one student, he very arrogantly asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada was explaining about the four varnas and ashrams levels. And he asked, so you are sitting on the Vyasasana, there is a fan, chamar is going on for you. So what is your level? So Prabhupada became very grave and he had tears. And with humility he said, actually I am not in any of these class. I am the fifth class. I am just here to, as a servant of my, on behalf of my Guru Maharaj, I am here to serve all of you. That is my position. So that is the level of, you know, surrender of Srila Prabhupada. He actually showed by his own example that how this surrender is there. So in Ramayana also, in Yuddhakanda, Lord Ram declares, you know, when the Vibhishan surrender takes place, that anyone who even once sincerely surrendered unto me, declares that I am yours, and prays for fearlessness, it's my vow that I will always supply that to them. That is the Lord Ram's vachan to all of us. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vaja aham tvam sarva pape bimoksha yashmi maashicha. So Krishna is giving us the guarantee that okay, you just surrender and everything will be taken care. So all of us are actually going through this journey of, you know, this the process of surrendering. The process is little bitter in the beginning, but we know, we have the hope that ultimately this surrender is going to be a sweet surrender. It is going to be a sweet rasgulla which we are going to get if we just surrender to Krishna and Krishna's devotees, Guru Shishya Parambara. So that is the few thoughts on this particular. Sorry, I went a little over time. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna, for your patience, for your tolerance. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.